Welcome to Business and Oil. Articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, this is Cindy reading the oil report from the MRT for Sunday. Natural gas prices get lift from new pipeline capacity by Mella McEwen. After enduring months of natural gas prices that moved into negative territory in March and largely remained there until August, Permian producers are starting to see higher prices. Finally, we are seeing improvement on takeaway capacity for both gas and oil, with corresponding improvement in differentials, Susie Boyd, founder and president of Caballo Loco Midstream, told the MRT. For gas, the long-awaited Kinder Morgan Gulf Coast Express gas pipeline has begun receiving gas as of early August, in advance of its full startup expected in September. Gulf Coast Express is designed to move gas from the supply-rich Permian Basin to the Corpus Christi area, where it will ultimately find a market on the Gulf Coast or through LNG export. This takeaway relief provided by the new pipeline, along with extra hot weather and increased power load, have helped prop up Waha gas prices, she wrote. The low prices had prompted Apache to curtail production from its Alpine High play in Reeves County. Waha and El Paso Permian differentials have improved significantly, and the netbacks on our Permian gas volumes have improved considerably from the second quarter, Phil West, Apache's manager of media and public relations, told the MRT. West continued, "We look forward to the additional capacity that will be provided by the GCX pipeline when it comes online." Alan Foer, vice president, public affairs with Kinder Morgan, told the MRT by telephone that the Gulf Coast Express and the Permian Highway Pipeline, which the company will put online next year, are critical infrastructure for the state. Foer said the availability of capacity and the ability to move natural gas to end users, whether homes or businesses, is part of the company's support of the state's natural gas market. "We don't control prices," he pointed out. "Our shippers own the product, but we provide the infrastructure and give shippers a way to get their product to market. That provides economic growth in terms of taxes to the state and local entities, construction spending, delivery of product, royalties. That's billions of dollars of impact from these projects, and the additional supply is a benefit to consumers." Michael Bonsbach, an oil, gas, and natural gas liquids marketing consultant, told the MRT by email that the Waha Hub in northern Pecos County affects virtually every producer in the Permian Basin, both in Texas and New Mexico. Gas from the Permian can flow west to California, northeast to the U.S. Midwest, southeast to the Texas Gulf Coast, and south to Mexico. He went on to explain that natural gas is normally sold in two ways, on a monthly basis and on a daily basis, much like stocks are traded daily. Prices at the Waha Market Center began their unprecedented move into negative territory in late March, and we were still seeing negative prices in August, he wrote. Although the average index and average daily price for April through July was effectively zero, there were wild swings day by day, with prices ranging from plus $1.25 MMBTU to negative $5.80 MMBTU during this period. These swings are indicative of how sensitive the market is to any change. Weather, pipeline outages, or mainline compressor station maintenance. This sensitivity is due to the available supply of gas equaling or exceeding the available pipeline plus market space. Kinder Morgan's Gulf Coast Express pipeline is currently receiving about 1 billion cubic feet of gas per day and is expected to reach its design capacity of 2 billion cubic feet per day by its official startup date of September 20th, Bonschbach wrote. He and Boyd said producers should start seeing the improved prices beginning with payments for August and September production. Gas takeaway should be ample for at least 6 months or so until increased production catches up with the capacity of the Gulf Coast Express, wrote Bonschbach. The second Kinder Morgan gas pipeline, the Permian Highway, is not expected to be online until the fall of 2020, so it is possible that a negative price environment returns during 2020. Greg Haas, director with Stratus Advisors, echoed Bonschbach's caution in an email to the MRT. Overall, gas production is still high, and we see uncertainties in offtake by Mexico and the liquefaction and loading of gas at new LNG plants undergoing commissioning or ramping to fuller utilization, he wrote. So we expect that Texas coastal gas prices could still drop with the influx of Permian gas if it has nowhere to go but salt dome storage. Hopefully, the balance of gas flows in and out of the coast will all work like clockwork and absorb the new Permian gas without any indigestion. But in the gas markets, surprises happen. Gluts can arise sooner than expected, and nowhere is that known more clearly than the Waha hub. And while Permian Waha prices have increased nicely due to higher outflow to the Texas coastal market, the Permian flows may ultimately drive down the overall Texas gas market price unless gas exports grow in tandem. While Permian gas prices have run up because of the new pipeline startups that have enabled access to higher value markets, Haas said that overall, U.S. benchmark prices have run up recently largely because of financial trading strategies over market fundamentals. Benchmark prices should have fundamentally been more pressured by new inflows of low-cost Permian gas, he wrote. We believe that the trading maneuvers are all but played out, and we remain cautiously optimistic that as inbound pipelines bring more gas to the Texas coast, the Mexican pipeline flows will increase along with more LNG loadings to absorb the new gas influx and prevent a sizable move downward in benchmark gas prices. The Energy Information Administration reports that, following in the wake of the Gulf Coast Express, several new natural gas pipelines are being planned to move gas from the Permian to the Gulf Coast that could further reduce the Waha-Henry Hub differential. The Permian Highway, the Whistler, the Permian 2 Katy, the Pecos Trail, the Permian Global Access, Bluebonnet Market Express, and the Permian Pass. But only the Permian Highway and the Whistler projects have reached a final investment decision and are set to go online in 2020 and 2021, respectively. PB Association of Pipeliners aims to make industry safer, by Mella McEwen. A wide-ranging group of energy industry personnel make up the Permian Basin Association of Pipeliners. Speaking before the association's monthly luncheon at the Petroleum Club, Association President Jason Wolf told the group in April 2018. He said its members come from the producers who send their production through the pipelines to the service companies who design, build, operate, and maintain the pipelines. It's businesses that operate in the pipeline space, but it's even broader than that. It's about all the people in the industry, he said. It's the operators, the service providers, the folks in and around the industry in the Permian Basin. We try to be inclusive. Permian Basin crude and natural gas production has soared, eclipsing pipeline capacity and prompting midstream companies to plan spending billions of dollars on new or expanded pipelines. Now, more than ever, we depend on midstream to provide safe and reliable transportation of our crude or natural gas, said Wolf. It's our responsibility to help with that. One way to do that is partnering with Midland College, Odessa College, and the University of Texas of the Permian Basin by giving $10,000 to each school. And the association presented 4 scholarships to area students who are pursuing STEM degrees and students pursuing an applied technology associate or certification in an industry-related field. Those presentations to the colleges and scholarships totaled $50,000. Wolf said the goal is to triple that and present $150,000 next year. Funds are raised through a golf tournament, which was just held, and a team roping event that will be held in November in Andrews. Scholarships and education for those who are looking to enter the industry is just one of the association's 3 priorities, according to Wolf. Improving industry safety and community involvement and support are the other 2 priorities. Referring to a pipeline explosion in Midland County that killed a pipeline worker last year, Wolf said, "We hope to prevent accidents like that with better training, better education, and better tracking of industry qualifications." The goal, he said, is bringing more consistency to training and awareness, helping with education and tracking and maintenance of qualifications, and providing better background checks. WTGS Symposium hopes to help Permian keep leading the pack, by Mella McEwen. The Permian Basin has been leading in the growth of crude oil and natural gas production for almost a decade. Keeping the Permian leading the pack will be the goal of the 23 talks and poster sessions at the West Texas Geological Society's 31st Annual Fall Symposium, set for September 25th through the 26th at the Midland Horseshoe. David Osterlund, general chairman of the symposium, told the MRT that the majority of the talks will be centered on unconventional plays. Talks will center on topics from geomechanical modeling to fracture communication to studies of the San Andres, Wolfcamp, Leonard, and Bone Spring formations in the Delaware and Midland basins. Scott Tinker, director of the Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin, will open the symposium with West Texas, Global Impact, National Ignorance. Midlander Mike Party, president and owner of Barrel Oil and Gas LP, and current president of the American Association of Petroleum Geologists, will be the luncheon speaker on September 25th with a presentation on horizontal drilling and a look at the objectives. He will examine the conventional versus unconventional plays in the Spraberry and Wolfcamp formations in the Midland Basin and the Wolfcamp and Bone Spring formations in the Delaware Basin and how they transition from conventional to unconventional. The second day of the symposium will include an ethics luncheon featuring Tom Collier, current chair of the Ethics Committee of the Society of Petroleum Evaluation Engineers. The luncheon will satisfy the ethics requirement for state-certified geologists. The symposium concludes with an afternoon core workshop with more than 1,000 feet of core from 10 wells in Upton, Ector, Pecos, Reagan, Reeves, and Ward counties in Texas and Chavez, and Eddy counties in New Mexico. The cores come from the Wolfcamp, Devonian, Woodford, Avalon, and Third Bone Spring formations.
Hello, this is Paul reading from the front page of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, September 15, 2019. Education. Respondents generally in favor of MISD bond election. Survey polled 300 people likely to vote in November, 103 district staff members. Before the Midland ISD bond election was called, the district sent out surveys to 300 people likely to vote in November and to 103 district staff. Questions, topics included realignment and more pre-kindergarten seats to building a new high school and repurposing an existing facility. Conducted in late April, the overall responses from both staff and the public appeared in favor of a bond election and many of the items that have been proposed. The district provided the Reporter-Telegram with the survey responses. Each of the questions included the option of no opinion or unsure, as well as refusal. General sentiments. When asked if their outlook on MISD was positive or negative, the majority of respondents said positive. Community members responded with 47% positive and 38% negative. Staff responded with 69% positive and 24% negative. Respondents were asked if they believe MISD has enough money to provide quality schools and instruction for today's learners. Both the public and staff members said the district needs more money. 56% of community members said the district needs more money. 72% of district staff said the district needs more money. The overwhelming majority, 80% from the public and 94% from staff, also responded that the district needs more classrooms and teachers to address enrollment growth over the next 5 years. And given the options of excellent, good, fair, and poor, the majority responded that the condition of junior high and high school buildings was fair. When asked about the quality of education, community members responded with fair, while staff responded with good. Grade realignment. Before finalizing its bond recommendation, the planning committee asked staff and community members how they felt about grade realignment. The bond proposes elementary schools serve pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, middle schools serve sixth through eighth grade, and high schools serve ninth through 12th grade. When asked if they supported or opposed the change, 77% of community members and 88% of district staff were in support. The trend continued when it was explained that realignment would create more than 1,000 seats for pre-kindergarten students. Respondents again said they supported it. Junior high and high school campuses. The committee recommends new buildings for Midland High and Lee High. The existing Midland High would be repurposed into two schools, San Jacinto Middle School and a specialized academy for 6th through 12th graders. The existing Lee would be renovated and become a third high school. When asked if they would support the district repurposing an existing school for a 6th through 12th grade campus, the 52% of the public was in support, and district staff responded with 69% in support. The survey continued that the existing building from the previous question was Midland High School, which is at overcapacity and cannot be expanded. Respondents were asked again who would support the repurposing. Community members responded with 76% in support, while staff responded with 88% in support. Respondents were informed if a new building becomes MHS, it will be bigger than Lee. The survey asked if respondents would rather build a new campus for Lee so the school is the same size and condition, or wait for a future bond to keep taxes lower. 56% of community members and 53% of district staff wanted to wait and address Lee in a future bond. Respondents were asked their preference on keeping Midland a large two-high school district, add one new high school, or add two new high schools. The greatest response from both community members and staff was adding one new high school to become a three-high school district. Similar questions were asked, and the same trend continued. Respondents were most supportive of a three-high school district. The survey also incorporated questions about the tax ratification election, asking respondents for their preference on tax increases. Once informed about each of the potential opportunities the bond could encompass, respondents were asked if they would support a $550 million bond, and the majority responded in support. Just 33% of community members and 10% of district staff responded that they were against. Top reasons for opposition were that taxes would be too high, some fiscal management, and that they would need to know the exact allocation of the spending before voting for the bond. By Brandy Addison, brandy.addison@hearstnp.com. Boardings approach 600,000 at Midland International. For the 33rd straight month, there has been a year-over-year increase in the number of boardings at Midland International Airport. The City of Midland reported last week that 57,347 people boarded the Southwest, United, or American Eagle, an increase of 8.3% over August 2018. Year-to-date, the city reports there have been 596,362 boardings. That is an 11.7% increase compared to the same period during the 2017-18 fiscal year. Southwest Airlines still leads the three airlines operating at Midland International with 26,186 passengers, or 45.6% of the market share. That is a decrease in share from 1 year ago when 27,701 people, or 51.1% of the overall share, boarded an airline. United was second with 15,810 people boarding an airline. American was a close third with 15,351. American Eagle's increase compared to 1 year ago was 24.1%, while United's was 17.2%. The city also reported parking revenue topped $400,000 in August. So far this year, the city has collected more than $4.244 million in parking revenue, a 7.4% increase compared to the same period during fiscal year 2017-18.
District 3 candidates Q&A. Question: what was your take from the Perriman report authorized by Priority Midland, and what does it mean to govern in Midland for the next decade? E.J. Baldridge writes, forward-thinking leaders will make decisions that impact future. The data in this report will enable us to responsibly plan for the long term, which is a value that I share with many in Midland. As a businessman with a background in economics, I am a data-driven individual who prefers to make decisions with all available information. I believe this method is important not just in our businesses and households, but it is important at the city level. Cities need to base their decisions and planning on data in order to better serve their citizens. I am running for city council because Midland needs forward-thinking leaders like me who are willing to lead the city with the same West Texas values we use so successfully to lead our businesses and families. The report reinforces what we all know are issues currently facing Midland: lack of housing, labor shortages, and wear on existing infrastructure. However, the most important thing I believe the report does is define those issues through modeling that provides a glimpse of what could have been. The report allows us to smartly plan long-term instead of reacting to issues as they occur. The report gives us 10 years of modeling under various circumstances, and even the most conservative estimate, Midland has projected to add another 77,000 citizens. Armed with this data and what we can see with our own eyes, Midland can plan for projected growth that will occur. As each and every one of us is aware, housing is a major concern facing the city. The report forecasts that over the next decade, Midland needs more than 16,000 single-family homes and almost 10,000 multi-family units. That data alone should attract real estate developers to the city. It's a given fact that labor costs are higher here, but those are offset by even the most conservative housing needs facing Midland, estimates that should enable developers to plan and prepare for those costs. City leadership needs to build strategic relationships around the city and capitalize on this information to attract the necessary investment. Under no circumstances should the city become a real estate developer in its own right. However, the city is uniquely placed to incentivize development through its investments in infrastructure. There is no need to provide tax incentives or other financial remedies. The numbers speak for themselves and will provide all the incentive developers need. What the city does need to do is strategically plan and invest in roads and water utilities near where the growth is projected to occur. Midland has been burned by lack of forward thinking in the past. Had we seen the growth northeast of town before it came, the city could have extended Fairgrounds Road and annexed those areas north of Loop 250, where so much development has taken place. This would have helped bring those housing units online faster and with fewer delays. We are having to play the much more expensive game of catch-up. Being forward-thinking doesn't mean only catering to developers and new residents. It also means investing in those people who already have roots here and those areas of the city where people already live. At the top of that list of people are those who protect us. The recent tragic events show us that we must do all we can to recruit and retain police officers. As we grow, the city should look inward for partnerships that provide affordable housing for those who need it most. Just recently, the PSP worked with a local apartment community to provide significant rent discounts to teachers. I would seek similar partnerships to benefit our first responders. District 3 is more or less fully developed, but it will feel the impacts of further increased traffic and strain on electric and water utilities. At the same time the city builds for new development, it needs to increase its investment in those neighborhoods that already exist. Fully funding road maintenance each year is critical to our safety. Perriman's report provides the kick in the pants who need to prompt action. Had we begun the recent investments in infrastructure and housing 5 years earlier, Midland would have added $37 billion in output to its economy and 80,000 jobs. We lose by not acting. Midland needs forward-thinking leaders like me who will act now with an eye to the future.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, September 14th, 2019. This is Section A. The headline reads, Nation's rig count is lowest since May 2017. From Staff Reports. Oversupply concerns sent crude oil prices to a two-week low this week as the International Energy Agency warned of a looming supply glut and reports President Trump may ease sanctions on Iran raise concerns of more barrels on the market. After starting the week with a $1.33 gain, West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange then recorded four straight days of decline, ending the week 3% lower. West Texas Intermediate closed Friday at $54.85 a barrel, down 24 cents or 0.4%. The posted price was lowered 25 cents to $51.25 Friday. Natural gas on the NYMEX saw a stronger week, with prices gaining 4 cents to close at $2.61 per MCF Friday. The nation's number of operating oil and gas rigs fell to the lowest level in over 2 years this week, but oil prices still aren't responding. The number of active rigs fell by 12 to 886, the lowest level since May 2017, according to the Baker Hughes, a GE company, North America rig count. Texas by far led the decline, with producers pulling a net 8 rigs out of service this week. But with fears of oversupply in the global market suppressing investment, what would normally be bullish news for oil traders did little to move the market. U.S. crude oil prices were little changed on Friday at $55.03 per barrel immediately following the report. Slowing international economic activity has weakened demand for oil, but at the same time, the U.S. is pumping record amounts of crude. Skeptical investors have begun to pull back from producers, and drilling activity has steadily fallen since the start of the year. Oil prices have been stuck below $60 per barrel since July. Texas has the most active rigs in the nation, 430, nearly half of the U.S. total. Rig count around Texas. The Permian Basin and Texas both are down 8 rigs this week, for totals of 419 and 430 respectively, according to oilfield services company Baker Hughes. Also losing 8 rigs was Ward County, which now has 15. Midland County lost 4 for a total of 43, and Reeves, the basin's most active county, has 59, up 1. New Mexico has 108 rigs this week, unchanged. Other Permian counties with double-digit rig counts are Lee, New Mexico, 55, up 2, Eddy, New Mexico, 48, down 2, Martin, 37, unchanged, Loving, 35, up 4, Howard, 25, up 3, Upton, 20, down 1, Pecos, 17, unchanged, and Reagan, 12, unchanged. The rig count nationwide stands at 886, a loss of 12. The Houston Chronicle contributed to this report.
Thank you for listening to this week's Business and Oil articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. Don't forget, you can also hear this program by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555 and by downloading at recordinglibrary.org.